I'm just trying to mind the Lord tonight. I think it's preaching time. Somebody said we didn't sing any congregational songs. I know. I just want God to have His way. I'd rather Him be happy than you anyhow. Amen. Y'all glad you're saved? Say amen. I'm about to do something very, very un-Baptist. And y'all can put it on Facebook. I don't give a rip, but I'm coming out as tight. It's 104 degrees outside, and I think it's 105 in here. I ain't even got to preaching yet, and I'm already sweating like Paris Hilton doing a crossword puzzle. Amen. That's hot, amen. Amen. Take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. Listen, I'm going to preach quick tonight, but I want you to get it. Y'all listening to me? I want you to get it. Some of you are sitting there like students in a classroom, and the teacher's called your name, and you don't even realize she's talking to you. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Did y'all ever do that? Teacher ever walk right up beside your desk and call your name, and you go, huh? Everybody's laughing? Well, we're not laughing tonight. But somebody's called on you. And I'm going to require something of you during this sermon. Your attention. Amen. I promise you I'm not going to preach very long, but I want you to listen to exactly what I have to say. My heart's desire is not to impress you. My heart's desire is to help you. Amen. Our kids, I know you hear me all the time. Please hear me once more. Amen. Don't tune it out just because it's your preacher. Amen. Hear what we've got to say tonight. Yeah, Mark chapter number 5, we'll look at a few verses and I'll give you the thought tonight. We've been talking about or thinking about the thought of restoration. What a restoration is, there's a show that comes on TV. It's one of my favorite. It's called American Restoration. It's a guy named Rick out in Arizona near Las Vegas, and he restores things. People bring them to him. The old gas pumps, it doesn't matter, old toys, whatever. He'll restore anything. And he takes those things that are broken and messed up and discolored and dented up and rusted up. He takes them and he makes them brand new for a fee. Well, I've got news for you tonight. We've got one in the restoration business, and he's here tonight. And he'll take something that's broken and messed up, something that's scarred up and beat up, and he'll make it brand spanking new, and he's already paid the bill. Amen. Mark chapter number 5, we'll read a couple of verses of Scripture tonight. Y'all looking at it? Say amen. The Bible said, and they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. I love this little word right here, but. That means something's fixing to change. What's about to be said is going to be totally opposite from what has just been said. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. And now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. They had to get his permission. Are you understanding this? And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Now I want you to understand something. We'll pick up at verse 14 in just a minute. I want you to understand something. How many pigs were there? How many hogs? 2,000 swine. Now, does that give you any idea of how many demons were dwelling inside this man? If it was enough torment to cause 2,000 hogs to run off a cliff and drown themselves in a sea, what do you think it was doing to that one individual, that one man? His life was chaotic, to say the least. His life was a mess. By the way, just as real as demon possession was in the Bible, it's just as real today. Amen. They've got pretty names for it. It's this sickness, it's that illness. But oftentimes, I'm afraid people are just full of the devil. Amen. I see it everywhere I go. I've even seen it on bigger scales where people talk to you and their voice actually changes and their eyes roll back in their head. I've seen it on that fashion. Demon possession is very real. Evil spirits are very real. The Bible tells us in Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's real. Just mark her down, it's real. But I want you to imagine, I want you to compare your life and the mess you think you're in to this guy. This guy had at least 2,000 demon spirits inside him. Y'all okay? Verse 14. The Bible said, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, watch this, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Tonight I want to draw your attention to one verse of Scripture. In verse number 3, as this man runs out to meet the Lord, well, let's look at verse number 2. The Bible said, when he has come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. Look that word tomb up. That word tomb in the dictionary, it gives some, what's the words that mean the same thing? Synonyms, the synonyms for the word tomb. It said graveyard. Kind of figured that one out, didn't you? It said graveyard or a storage place for obsolete or worn out things or junkyard. A storage place for obsolete or worn out things or a junkyard. How many of you know what a junkyard is tonight? Anybody ever been? I love junkyards. My wife loves to walk around the mall. I love to walk around a junkyard. Amen? I love old cars. I love looking at old cars. I love thinking about old cars. I love dreaming about old cars. Did I mention I love old cars? Amen? I enjoy going to the junkyard. But a junkyard is a place that is full of broken and worn out things. They were once desirable. They once held somebody's affection. Those cars that are beat up, banged up, and are no longer useful, but have become useless. They used to be somebody's dream. Somebody one time said, oh, if I could just get that car, I'd be happy. One time somebody sat down in that car and went, oh, I love that new car smell. Sometime that car rolled up and down the road. Some time ago, that car sat in a driveway and was washed and waxed and Armor All put on the tires and was babied. But somewhere through the course of that car's life, it's gotten beaten up and banged up. And now it's put in a place where nobody wants it and nobody dreams about it. Nobody shines it up anymore. Nobody wants to smell its interior anymore. Why? Because it has become broken, discarded and worn out. Let me just say to you tonight quickly, the devil has a junkyard too. The devil has a junkyard too. And it's open 24 hours a day. It's never closed. Hey, I can tell you right now, I've been to some of his select junkyards. I've been in the YDC, the Youth Detention Center. I remember one night in Dallas, just up the road here where our church used to be, they opened a new Youth Detention Center in Dallas. And they called our church and invited us to come and preach to those kids. I'll never forget what I saw. We checked in, we got through security thing, and we got into the first little part before you get back to the cells. And Brother Lee, it was they called it a holding room or a processing in room. It's where they first brought the prisoners. I saw a little 10-year-old boy. How old are you? 10? Just like this. 10-year-old boy. Laying in the floor on his belly in his underwear with his hands behind his back and his feet pulled up to his hand and all of that tied together with zip ties. And the little boy was screaming to the top of his lung. And I just automatically got mad. I said, "Officer, why don't y'all turn that little boy loose? He'll quit having a fit." He said, "Man, it took 5 of us to tie him up." He said, he looked at me and said, "That kid is full of the devil." 10 years old. 10 years old. While we looked with saddened hearts and teary eyes, the devil was standing by somewhere clapping his hand and saying, "Yes, I got another one." And let me tell you something tonight. His desire is to haul you off tonight, to put you in the junkyard of life, to put you in a place where you're no longer useful, where you're no longer desirable. You better hear me tonight. The devil's got a junkyard. Amen. And his desire is to get you that. "Oh, but I'm saved." "Oh, I know." He'd rather wreck a saved life than he had a lost life. He'd rather stop you from bringing glory and honor to your Savior than he ever would want to mess with a lost man. He's already got them. They're already on their way to hell. Hey, and if he can hinder you, he knows he's hurting the heart of God. That's his enemy. Amen. It ain't really about you. Come on, preacher. Are you listening? Right. Let me tell you something about this junkyard. When you walk through those junkyards, there's one right down the road from my house. Mr. White owns that junkyard. And you walk through that junkyard, and Brother Freddie, you know what you see? All kinds. They're all there. Fords and Fords and Ford and Ford and Ford and Ford. No, they're all there. Fords, Chevrolets, Dodges. Amen. They're all there. You see, the junkyard's no respecter of a person. The junkyard doesn't care who you are, what you are, where you from, who your mom and daddy is, who your preacher is. God, hey, that junkyard don't care. The devil does not care who you are tonight. When you stand up in the face of Satan and say, "Do you know who I am?" He's going to say, "Do you know I don't care? I'd just soon haul you off to the junkyard as I had anybody else. I'd just as soon destroy your life as I had anybody else." These little old girls in here with a pure look in their face, the devil wants to take that away from you. The devil wants to take that away from you. You boys, it's got a smooth complexion and your teeth aren't rotten. I'm saying you ain't got on crack and you ain't on methamphetamine. He wants to ruin you. He wants to destroy your life and he doesn't care who you are. You find Fords right beside Chevrolets, Chevrolets right beside Dodges. You know what I saw in the junkyard one day? I saw a VW Bug sitting right beside a Mercedes-Benz. Doesn't matter in the junkyard. Because you know what you all are in the junkyard? Junk. You might be a junk with a VW emblem or a junk with a Mercedes emblem, but it's still junk. We all right? It's still junk. Listen, you better be careful. Some of you may not be in this meeting next year. Chances are, if you don't get something tonight, you won't be in another youth meeting like this. Amen. Chances are, some of you girls could be bottle feeding a baby this time next year. You better listen. Amen. The devil's got a junkyard. I don't say this unkindly or harshly, but I've saw him haul off better than you. Amen. I've saw him destroy bigger than you. I've saw him destroy preachers' kids. I've saw him destroy deacons' kids. I've saw him destroy bus kids. It doesn't matter who you are. He don't care. That's right. In the devil's junkyard, you find good people right along beside bad people. You find saved people right alongside lost people. You find people from the right side of the track, and you find people from the wrong side of the track. It doesn't matter who you are. Good God Almighty, you better get a bulldog grip on this tonight. He desires to destroy your life. Are you listening to me? Why do cars wind up in the junkyard? Why do people wind up in the junkyard? I wonder how many of you could raise your hand and say, I know somebody who used to be in church, but they all messed up now. Amen, every one of us. In other words, what you're saying by lifting your hand is they used to sit where you sit. Amen. They used to sing what you sing.
Come on, preacher.
They used to pray like you pray. But something happened. What you need to understand and what you need to try to figure out is figure out what happened to them and make sure it don't happen to you. Several years ago, one of my closest friends in the ministry, still love him to this day, made a horrible mistake. He committed adultery. He went out into sin. He called me on the phone one day. I said, I got to ask you a question. I said, I want to know what happened. It wasn't because I had an inquiring mind and wanted to know. I wanted to see to it I didn't let it happen to me. I wanted to take everything he told me and make sure I did dead the opposite of what that was so that I didn't wind up just like he was. So what I'm saying tonight is those people that are out tonight, those that are out there smoking dope and those that are sucking on a crack pipe and those that are taking methamphetamines and those that are boozing it up and smoking it up, hey, you need to look at their lives and say, whatever happened to them, I want to make sure it doesn't happen to me.
Amen.
Are you listening? How do they wind up in the junkyard? I'll tell you simply, some are wrecked. Some are wrecked. Would you agree? It's hard to find a straight fender in a junkyard. Amen. I rebuilt a 72 Chevrolet pickup. Super Cheyenne, four-wheel drive, factory air. Somebody shout amen right there. I had to have a new bed for it before we painted it. I went in every junkyard in this part of the country. There wasn't no such thing as a straight bed anywhere to be found. Why? Well, they'd all been wrecked. They'd all been messed up. Let me tell you something. Nobody ever had a wreck with sin and got up to brag about it.
Amen.
Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death.
Amen.
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 I know when you're young, you go out and do things and you brag to all your buddies about what you've done, but sooner or later, that thing will catch up with you and it'll hit you in a head-on collision, leave you laying to the side of the road to die. It doesn't care who you are. It doesn't care what you are. It just wants to wreck your life. Amen. I know lives that are a wreck. Had a kid in our church years ago. His mom and daddy got a little upset about something and got out. This kid, 15 years old, had talked to me over and over about how the Lord was dealing with him about preaching. Mom and daddy got upset about something and got out of church. 6 months to the day they left the church, there was a knock at my door. There stood that mother holding that boy by the hand and saying, Brother Eddie, we need help. I looked at that little boy and I barely knew him. He got on methamphetamine. His face was all sunken in. His face was covered with sores. I mean, he looked like walking dead. I said, Dear God, son, what happened? He said, I thought I was just going to do it one time.
Amen. Come on, preacher.
He said, I thought I was just going to do it one time. I put that little boy in my car, and we drove to Marietta to the rehab center. And I watched him as he sat there in that chair, shaking and sweat pouring out of his body. And I watched his crying mother as we left and left him there. You say, does it have a good ending? No. He got out of there and went right back to it. A few months later, Brother Charles loaded him up, drove him all the way to Corpus Christi, Texas, to the roll-off home. Last I heard, he was doing all right. But boy, it took years and years. You don't have a wreck with that stuff and get up to brag about it. Jason gave his testimony last night. He wasn't bragging about what he had done. He's bragging about what Jesus done, because he could not have got out of the wreck that he was in. Hey, I don't want to make him feel any worse than he already does, but do you know how many people's lives beside his was wrecked because of his? Some are in the junkyard because they've been wrecked. What causes them to wreck? A lot of them just can't stop. Are y'all listening? A lot of them have no brakes. They just cannot stop. There's things that you start in this life that you do not have the power to stop. I mean, brother, you're going on along in life and you start fooling with this and you start fooling with that, and you say to yourself in your mind, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. And you say that in your mind till the opportunity comes up again, and you do it again, and you say, I'm not doing this anymore. And then the opportunity comes up and you do it again. Why? Because you have no power over sin. And once it starts, you do not have the ability to stop it. Y'all okay? I looked at that little boy in the face and I said, man, why don't you just quit? He said, Brother Eddie, I can't.
Amen. Right.
I can't quit. I can't stop.
Amen,
girls, listen to me. Make up your mind right now that you're going to draw a line with boys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some girls say, well, I'll go just this far. No, if you start, you'll go all the way. You listen to me? If you start, you'll go all the way. And once you start, don't look at me goofy. They hear worse than this on the television. Amen. Once you start, it don't stop. Once you feed that monster, it's going to eat. Y'all okay? Some are in the junkyard tonight because they had no brakes and they just could not stop. Hey, some of you need to just stop right now and say, God, I need your help. I need your help. Some have wound up in the junkyard because they just couldn't stop. Some are there because they lost control. No steering. They come into a curve too fast. Listen to me carefully. Years ago, we were still in our old building. There were three girls from Paulding County High School. I don't remember their names. For graduation, Daddy bought one of the girls. Daddy bought her a Ford Mustang GT convertible, brand spanking new Ford Mustang GT convertible. Her first car. After graduation, they had a graduation party. The girls weren't doing anything wrong. They were all saved. They were all Christian girls. But they went out and they bought a bunch of toilet paper and they was going to go roll some of their friend's yard. Well, they were rolling one of their friend's yard and the daddy of the friend heard them and saw them out there. And when the lights came on, they jumped in the car and took off. The daddy didn't know who it was, so he jumped in the truck and chased after them. He gets in a high-speed chase, chasing after this Ford GT Mustang, and the little girl comes in a curve a little bit too fast and she can't handle the curve and she hit a oak tree head-on. All three of them girls went out to meet God. Why? They were going too fast.
Amen.
They were going too fast and couldn't control it. Some of you young people need to slow down. Some of you need to slow down a little bit. We've let society teach you that when you're 13, you're supposed to dress and look like a 25, 30-year-old woman. No, you're a kid. Be a kid. Don't let this world tell you that. You ain't got to paint up like Jezebel. Are y'all listening to me? Hey, slow down. You're going to grow up quicker than you think. You're going to wake up one morning, and you're going to have a husband, and you're going to have babies, and you're going to have bills, and you're going to think, where did my life go? Slow down. Slow down. Enjoy life. Man, this should be the best time of your life. Shouldn't be the most stressful time. It should be the best time.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Some of you boys, you need to learn how to climb a stinking tree, man. Put down your stinking Xbox and your Game Boy and your whatever else boy you got. Put that junk down. Get outside. Get dirty and play. See these kids walking around all the time with a Red Bull. What do you need a Red Bull for? You ain't going to do nothing. Y'all all right? Some of y'all need to slow down, man. Some of you need to slow down. Man, 10 years old is the coolest thing in the world to be. It was. How many of y'all remember? I remember 10 years old, man. That was awesome. I rode horses every single day. I was John Wayne incarnate. One day I'd be Matt Dillon. One day I'd be John Wayne. One day I'd be Clint Eastwood. Can I get a witness? Enjoy it. Slow down. Slow down. Listen, girls. I'm not going to throw a certain age out there because that's between you and God and your parents. But man, chances are most of y'all don't need a boyfriend. Are y'all listening? You don't need a boyfriend. Man, all that is stress and drama. Y'all all right? Why don't you try doing it God's way? Just slow down and say, Lord, I'm waiting on you. Lord, you show me who and you tell me when. Amen? But listen, if you pick, you're going to pick the wrong one. Oh, but Brother Eddie, he's a hunk. Bring him back to me in 20 years. That chest will be hiding his belt buckle. That spiked up hair will be shiny. Come on. Stacy said when she met Rusty, he was good looking. Y'all better listen. Slow down before you wreck. There's certain things in life that your body's not ready to handle. There's some curves up ahead that you're not ready to face. They will take you out. And I know it's always, it won't happen to me. It won't happen to me. Yes, it can. I want to be careful, but I want to tell you about something. I'll tell you about a young couple in our church. They were two of the godliest teenagers that I've ever had in my youth group. They're still very godly young people. But they couldn't slow down. They wound up expecting a baby. And everybody went, oh, how could it happen to them? They put themselves in a position. It didn't mean that they were bad kids. It just meant they weren't ready for that curve in the road. Are y'all okay? There's some things you're not ready for. Boys, you're not responsible enough to make your bed. How you gonna deal with a girl? You can't even fry bologna, man. How you gonna deal with a complex woman? Y'all listening? You can't handle homework. You're not ready for women. Y'all all right? What I'm saying, hey, some got wrecked because they couldn't stop. Some got wrecked because they're just going way too fast. Amen. I remember several years ago, and I'm trying to remember her name, the country singer. She was very, very popular for a long time. Started when she was just young, 16. Leanne Rimes. I remember I heard about Leanne Rimes this and Leanne Rimes that, and one day I saw her on the TV. I said to my wife, I thought she was 16 years old. Yes, she is. She's just 16. Well, she looks 40. Amen. Too fast. Amen. Too fast. Come on, preacher. Miley, too fast. Amen. Y'all all right? Slow down. Thank God you're who you are. Thank God you're where you are. Amen. No brakes. No steering. Some got in the wreck. Because they had a blowout. They had a blowout. Y'all know what Maypop tires are? Y'all know what? I got a set on my truck right now. Maypop anytime. I got a front tire. I walked by a while ago when I started to leave the house and I could see the air in it. That's thin, brother. That's thin. Looks good on the outside. Oh, that's a thought right there. On the outside, the parts you see when you walk up looks good. But if you look on the inside, I mean, you got to get down there and inspect that thing to see. On the inside, it's wore slam out. Got all kind of tread over here on the edge. I thought I had good tires. I just happened to see my wheels were cut that way and that tire was stuck out. I thought, my soul, it's a wonder I'm living. Blowouts. You know when blowouts happen? When you least expect them. You are never ready for a blowout. You're never ready for a blowout. You just run and run and run and run. That's the way I've been doing in that stupid truck. Oh, it'll make it another week. It'll make it to next paycheck. It'll make it to next month. It'll make it till the end. Hey, but you know what? At any time, just because I'm thinking it'll make it, it could blow out and leave me upside down on the side of I-20 with my throat cut. Are you listening to me? Hey, them blowouts will get you. No telling how many teenagers are in the devil's junkyard tonight. Thought it never would happen. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, blowout. You can prevent blowouts. But you got to keep a check on things. Requires some maintenance. Y'all all right? Some are in the junkyard tonight because they've been wrecked. You know what y'all know what a wrecker is, don't you? It's what they call off wrecked cars with. And when they go to back up to that car, it goes beep, beep, beep. I think I hear it tonight. I think I hear him backing right in here. Wanting to haul off some of these babies right here tonight. I'm with Brother Peacock. My job is to protect you. That's why we preach like we preach. That's why we say, slow down. Stop while you can. Don't get in a wreck. Hey, don't have a blowout. Keep a check on things. Pray. Read your Bible. Stay in church. Be faithful. Amen. Wow, we're trying to keep you out of the junkyard. Yes. Some are in the junkyard because they've been wrecked. Some are there because they've just simply become worthless. When I was rebuilding that 72 Chevrolet truck, I was in Rockmart at a junkyard. I was looking for some chrome trim. The guy who owns the junkyard was walking along with me. I guess so they make sure you don't stick stuff in your pocket. But he was walking along with me. And you know what I saw in that junkyard? A lime green, the color of her shirt, color of Spanky's shirt right there. Lime green, gremlin. Anybody know what a gremlin is? Adults, raise your hand. Kids, imagine the ugliest car possible. That or an AMC Pacer. I'm not sure. Ugly. It was lime green, puke green, ugly, ugly. I got to looking at that thing. I thought, man, look at that. There's a gremlin. He said, yeah, you own it? I said, no. He said, ain't nothing wrong with it. He said, it'll crank. He said, it runs as good as my brand new pickup truck. He said, ain't nothing wrong with that car. I walked around it. There wasn't a dent on it. It wasn't scratched up. The interior was decent. I said, man, what's this thing doing in the junkyard? That's when he said, you want it? I said, no. He said, nobody else does either. It's a fact. It's probably still sitting in that junkyard in Rockmart if you want to go check it out. Worthless. Now listen, if you're not careful, you'll allow, Brother Peacock was talking about that this morning, or no, last night, you'll allow society to tell you you ain't worth nothing.
Amen.
You'll allow people to tell you, hey baby girl, you'll allow people to tell you you're worthless because of the color of your skin. You tell them they a lie. Y'all okay? They'll tell you you're worthless because the kind of clothes you wear. They'll look down their nose on you because you don't have on a $150 pair of blue jeans with holes cut all in them. Stupidest thing I ever seen. Amen. $150 for a pair of blue jeans. You jacked up, man. Too high for crutches. Something's wrong with you. But people will look down their nose because you ain't got on the right kind of shoes. Or you ain't got the right little emblem on your shirt. Better listen to me. We all worth something to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You was worth enough that he died for you.
Amen.
Let me talk to my Happy Valley kids just for a minute. Anybody that walks through that door, girls, y'all are the world's worst. When somebody comes in, you don't know, who is she? Y'all okay? Let's not do our part to make them feel worthless too. These little old kids come in here, Brother Lee, they got stuff, I don't know what you call them, piercings. They look like they fell in a tackle box. That's what it looks like. They fell in face first and come up with all them lures stuck to their face. But they'll come in with all them piercings, one through the tongue and they can't talk. They've got them on their nose. I told one girl, I said, that's the shiniest booger I ever seen. Amen. They'll come in all tatted up. Hey. Don't look down at them.
Amen.
It's not our job to push them down.
Amen.
It's our job to pick them up.
Amen.
You say, oh, but they're not good as me. Oh, yeah, they are.
Amen.
You know who you're better than? Nobody.
Amen.
Y'all okay? Don't cause somebody to feel worthless just to make your own self feel better.
That's right.
Amen. Put your arm around them. Love on them. Embrace them. Welcome them here. Amen. And it ought to be like that in every church, in every town, in every city, in every state, in every country. When they come in the house of God beat up, they shouldn't leave feeling more beat up than they was when they got there. Good Lord, I feel some preach on that right there.
Amen.
Amen. Some of y'all stuck up.
Yeah.
If it's to come a good rain, you'd drown.
Yeah. Oh my. Help us, brother.
God have mercy. Somebody loved you enough to tell you the gospel. Somebody loved you enough to encourage you so that you're in church tonight. Amen. Let's not do our part to make others feel worthless. Some have been wrecked. Some have become worthless. And some are there just because they plain wore out. They just wore out. Just flat worn out. I've had people come in my office that taught Sunday school and say, "Brother Eddie, I'm going to give up my class." Why? I'm burned out. I'm just burned out. No, you're not. I don't think that's scriptural. But I've heard it as an excuse to quit God. If I had a dollar for every time I'd heard it, we'd pay his bill and all. Preacher, I'm just burned out. No, you're not. You're backslid. Now, there's a term we'll find in the Bible. Y'all okay? Man, if you take care of that spiritual man, he won't burn out.
Amen.
Brother Earl Hughes, that's who I want to be when I grow up. He's in a nursing home. By the way, he's doing real good, too.
Amen.
They're taking him around to some meetings. He's, what is he, 90? Somewhere in the neighborhood of 90 years old. Preached all over his country. He drove a Geo Metro. Anybody know what a Geo Metro is?
Yeah.
That goes right in that Gremlin class. A Geo Metro. It's just a three-cylinder car that Chevrolet put out. Piece of junk. Do you know how many miles Brother Earl put on that Geo Metro? At last count, it was 460,000 miles. Same motor. Well, high knee world. He took care of it. He took care of it. The junkyards are full of them things tonight because people drive them without checking the oil. Do y'all know what lights on the dashboard are for? Do y'all know that? My wife's car, it's got a whole dictionary of stuff it runs through and tells you. Every time I get in to go somewhere, check brakes, check washer fluid, low fuel, check engine, blah, 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 blah. Take to junkyard, amen. But boy, that old oil gets low, there'll be a little red. Used to be, a red light would flash on your dash and it said oil. It meant something needs attention. There was a temperature gauge. And you watch that hand get over toward H. That means hot. That means you need to stop and get water or repair the problem, whatever the case may be.
Amen,
listen, do you know that preaching is like lights on your dashboard? Do you understand that preaching is like, we're trying to keep you from getting wore out. We're trying to keep you from blowing a cylinder. We're trying to keep you from losing a radiator. Hey, it's lights on the dashboard. We're saying get to the altar, get to the filling station, get to the garage right here and get the oil checked, get the tires checked, get the water checked. I'm talking about that spiritual man that lives down on the inside of you before you blow out and wear out.
Amen.
Amen. Some are in the junkyard because they were wrecked. Was that a sneeze? I'll give you a dollar to do that again. We get that recorded. Thought she stepped on a bird or something. I don't know what that was. That's the most unique sneeze I've ever heard. I'm impressed. Some are in the junkyard because they were wrecked. There's a There's millions of them out there, kids, just like you. But their lives are in a junkyard tonight because they had a wreck with sin. They couldn't stop. They couldn't steer. They lost control. Some are there because the world has told them they're worthless. You tell a child enough times that he's no good, you know what he's going to be? No good. You tell him he's stupid enough, you know what he's going to be? Stupid. You tell him he's an idiot long enough, you know what he's going to be? He's going to be an idiot. Some are there because somebody told them they wasn't good for nothing. It was just a lie. God's got a plan for every life in this room, and it's not the junkyard. It doesn't even involve a visit to the devil's junkyard. He don't want you anywhere near there. Some are there because they've been told they're worthless. Some are there because they just wore out. Now listen, once you get to the junkyard, that's not the end. That's not the end. I asked the fella at the junkyard in Rockmart, I said, what's the first thing that happens when a car comes in the junkyard? Here's what he said, honest for God. He said, the very first thing we do is unhook the battery. I said, why is that? He said, well, this thing's been in a wreck. It's probably got some shorts in it somewhere. And if it catches fire, it could burn up everything we got in the whole junkyard. I thought, So the first thing you do is take its power. That's the first thing you do is take its power. He said, yes, sir. He said, then we drain all the fluids. We drain all the gas. That gives it power to go. We drain all the oil. That gives it lubrication to run. We drain all the water. That gives it coolant to keep from overheating. In other words, he said, preacher, we suck it dry. I'm looking at faces tonight that are so full of life and beauty. The devil would have nothing more than to suck you dry tonight. Take away your power to pray. Take away your power to walk for him each day of your life. And then just literally suck the life out of you. Several years ago, Sister Stephanie Speck had a bus route. The Carrollton bus route. I believe it was Carrollton. And she wanted me, I visited with each one of our bus workers and went and met all the kids' parents. We were standing in a trailer park on a porch and a lady opened the door. I didn't recognize her. I didn't know her from man in the moon. She had long, black, stringy hair. You could have wrung enough grease out of her hair to fried chicken. I mean, it was filthy. Her face was all pitted and marked up. She had a little baby on her hip. Stephanie introduced me and said, Miss So-and-so, this is our pastor. And she said, Eddie White. I said, yeah. She said, you don't remember me? I said, no, I'm sorry. She said, we went to school together. And she started describing who she was, and I still was having trouble, and all of a sudden it hit me. I didn't know her in school, but I remember her. She was one of them that was above my.
Amen.
Y'all know what I'm talking about? She was one of them, when she walked down the hall, every one of the boys went, whoa. Me and my big mouth. I looked her dead in the eye and said, what happened? She married a boy from school who got on drugs and beat her. Got arrested and sent to jail, left her alone to raise them little old babies. You're not above that tonight.
Right, brother.
What happened? All that beauty, all that attention. She had a wreck. She got taken to the junkyard. And there the devil sucked the life out of her.
Yep.
Took her power. Took everything inside that made her special and unique. I said, what next? He said, well, after we take the power, after we drain out all the fluids, he said, the first thing to go is the chrome. First thing to go, he said, then we start selling it piece by piece. He said, the first thing to go is the chrome. I said, so in other words, everything that makes it shine. He said, yeah, exactly. You don't see nobody shining in the youth detention center. Nobody with a big bright smile on their face down at the YDC. No bright-eyed, cheery kids down there. It's one of the saddest places you'll ever go. To the junkyard. I said, what happens next? He said, well, we sell everything we can. He said, you see that big metal box back there? He said, that's the crusher. He said, after it's all been sold off piece by piece, you put it in that crusher and mash it into a little bitty cube. And then it goes to an incinerator, to a furnace, and it's melted down. In other words, when it's all said and done at the end of the junkyard, there's nothing left. Absolutely nothing left. You listen to me careful. You don't want to go there.
Amen.
You do not want to go to the devil's junkyard.
Amen.
Not for a visit. Not for a look. You don't want to go there. Some have been wrecked. Some have become worthless. Some have just been worn out. Then they're sold off piece by piece. They take their power. They take everything that makes them shine. Until they're no longer desirable. Good for nothing to be smashed and burned. But listen, there's good news tonight. There's some in the junkyard that have been restored.
Right.
Yeah. Some in the junkyard that have been restored.
Yes,
several years ago, back in our old building, our church was set right against the road. And we had all, between Sunday school and church, we'd stand around out there at the church sign and talk. And the road's like right there. I mean, just that close. Right before you get to the church, there's a dogleg curve, and you can't see around it. But we're standing out there one morning between Sunday school and church, and you have to just coast, take your foot off the gas when you go in that curve. It's that sharp. And all of a sudden, I heard, brrr, brrr, bah, 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 and heard him out. I heard that big box Chevrolet motor. I had chill bumps jump up on my arm. I said, ooh. And buddy, as soon as he rounded that curve, Brother Freddie is a black 55 Chevrolet. I'm talking about look like new money. I'm standing in the parking lot and I go, oh, let him pull in, let him pull in, let him pull in. I'll want to be his preacher. Let him pull in. Sure enough, he got right there to the clutch. Right there at church, I heard him push the clutch. I seen that blinker come on. Yes. Well, I was the first one to greet him. I was waiting at his door. How are you doing today? We're going to give you an offering, amen? And I started drooling over that car. His name was Bill Taylor. My wife will remember Bill. His wife had a 57. After church, I got to talking to Bill. He reached in his pocket, Brother Jason. And he handed me a key. He said, let's go for a ride. I thought you'd never ask. I'm talking about a car that was probably worth $45,000. Perfect. Beautiful. We're driving down the road, and me being nosy, I had to ask, Bill, what's a car like this cost? He said, you wouldn't believe me? I told you. He said, I was at the junkyard one day. He said, walking through the cars, he said, I was looking for a part. He said, I got to the back side of the junkyard, and usually on the back side of the junkyard, they'll start stacking them. He said, and I saw the grill. He said, I walked around that car. He said, boy, it's rough. He said, I got around the backside and saw all the rust. The floor pans were gone. I walked around the other side and I saw the door was caved in. Interior was missing. He said, it was in bad shape. But he said, you know what? I think I can do something with that. I think I can do something with that. He said, I bought it for just a few $100, preacher. He said, and I brought it home. He said, I thought if I could just get that thing down to my house where I can work on it. I can, I can do something with that. He said, you know what, preacher? He said, it took me a long time. He said, I shed a lot of blood, busted knuckles, working on that car. He said, that's not just a car we're riding in. He said, that's a part of me. He said, preacher, see that button right there on the door? I said, yeah. He said, mash it. I mashed it and the window went, meow. He said, it's got power windows. He said, she didn't come from the factory like that. He said, touch them brakes. I touched them brakes. He said, that's four-wheel disc power brakes. He said, she didn't come from the factory like that. He said, how's that steering? I said, oh, it's sweet. He said, that's power steering. He said, you see, old Bill put some things in there that she didn't come from the factory with. I'm glad one day. I'm glad one day, about 26, 27 years ago, in the devil's junkyard, in the junkyard of life, all stacked up with the other undesirable, unusable, hey, there was a master restoration artist came from glory, and he walked around the front side and said, my, it looks pretty rough right there. And he walked around the side, and he said, it's pretty beat up over there. And he got around to the back side and said, it's just as bad over here. And he looked down on the inside and said, it's even worse in there. He said, but if I can get it down to my house, hallelujah, I think I might just be able to do something with that. Amen. You know what he said? He didn't come from the factory with power brakes. But I believe I'll give him power to stop. He didn't come from the factory with power steering. He had no power to control or direct his life, but I believe I'll put some power steering in there. I got some things tonight I didn't come from the factory with. But the one who restored my soul, he put them in there. Are you listening to me? The Bible said, to as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Bible said, for we have not received the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. There's still power in the blood tonight. Amen. You hear what I'm telling you? There's still power in the blood tonight. Right. Now listen, a lot of people restore them old cars and they put them under a cover. Yeah. And they haul them to shows in a trailer. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of in my life. Yeah. You give me a mint condition 69 Camaro and I'm going to scratch off right out you under it. And grab a second as you see me go.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Oh, but you'll devalue it. I don't care. They were made to go.
Right.
Not to show.
Right.
I told Bill, I said, Bill, I can't believe you drive this thing. He said, do you think all these scars on my hands, do you think all the hours, all the money that I spent restoring this car, he kept calling it her. All the money I spent restoring her, do you think I want to hide her in my shop?
Yeah, brother. Yes, sir, brother.
He said, no. I want to cruise her up and down the road and show everybody what old Bill can do with a wreck.
That's right.
He said, matter of fact, I drove it right back down there to that junkyard where I bought it. He said, all them boys come out of the junkyard and they was walking around that car going, whoo, my soul, man. Where'd you get a car like that? What do you take for it? Is it for sale? He said, oh, no, it's not for sale. He said, once she became mine, she'll never be owned by anybody else. Once she became mine, she'll never be drove by anybody else. He said, hey, she used to be where she was mistreated. She used to be where she wasn't cared for. He said, but now she's with somebody who loves her, somebody who takes care of her. Woo! And does that sound like Jesus to you? Thanks be unto God. He said, no, sir. Once I bought him, he's mine, and I'll never sell him. Amen. They said, where'd you get a car like that, man? He said, up against that fence right back yonder. They said, no way. That's not that same. He said, oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. You see, the Lord don't want to just hide you in a church house. He wants to do a work in your heart and do a work in your life that the world goes, no way. No way. You know what they said when I got saved? Even more so when I surrendered to preach and started preaching. You know what they said? No, not Eddie White. I had them come to my church, Jason, just to see.
Amen.
They didn't come to hear from God. They just come to see.
Amen.
No, nah, no. Y'all got him confused with somebody else. You know what the Lord's saying? See.
Yep. Amen.
See.
Amen.
See. Amen. What I can do. My own daddy called my mother one night and said, if you don't do something with that boy, he's going to be dead or in jail. You know what the Lord said? See.
Amen.
See what I can do. See what I can do with one the world don't want. See what I can do with society don't want no part of. See what I can do with one that's been hauled off to a junkyard whose life's all messed up and wrecked up and banged up and rusted up and cankered up. Look what I can do. And I'm here to tell you tonight, if he can do it in Eddie White, he can do it in you.
Amen.
If he can do it in Jason Crow, he can do it in you. If he can do it for Freddie Young, he can do it for you.
Amen.
Brother Freddie said this morning, he said, y'all just see what we are. You don't know what we were.
Amen.
Brother Freddie had hair down to here. I'm serious, heart attack. Played in a rock band. Him. Y'all listening? He was a crackhead. He was a dope dealer. And he was too. Happy Valley, kids, y'all listen to me. When your youth pastor come here, he was a pothead.
Amen.
And a heavy metal maniac. See? See? That old pothead and that heavy metal maniac, he come to a bonfire we had one night and probably burnt $2,000 worth of CDs. I'm being...
That's generous.
That's generous, yeah. I'm talking about hundreds throwed him in that bonfire. See? If God can take a life like Alan Parker, from a pothead and a heavy metal freak and make him a youth pastor. What could he do with you?
Yeah. Amen.
And God could take Warren English, who was a pill popper and a dope smoker and a dope seller, whose little wife had come to church and say, pray for my husband. Pray for my husband. If I'd have known him way back then and said, you know what, you're going to be one of my deacons one day, he'd have said, you're out of your mind. But now this old dope dealer's one of the goodest men I know. He'd give me the shirt off his back right now if I needed it. See? See? You know what they are? They're show cars. It's only been months ago I visited him in jail.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, glory.
See?
Amen.
Wasn't very long ago you were on that verge of divorce. See?
Amen.
Wasn't that much longer ago you two weren't even living together. See? He's still in the restoration business.
Amen.
You say, preacher, I've messed up. That's why he's still in the
Amen.
Business.
Amen.
Preacher, you don't know what I've done. He does.
Amen.
That's why he's in the restoration business.
Amen.
He loves to take broken people and fix them.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah, preacher.
He could have made them perfect if he wanted to. Couldn't he? He made Adam and Eve perfect. And then he put that stupid tree right in the middle of the garden. Why'd he do that? He wanted them to love him because they wanted to.
That's right. That's right.
And he wants you to love him because you want to.
Amen.
And he wants to fix you because he wants to.
Amen, brother.
He said, Brother Eddie, what if I'm too far gone? I don't think he's found one of those yet.
Amen. That's right, brother.
I don't think he... Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote 13 books of the Bible, was a murderer. Who was he murdering? Christians?
Yeah. Yeah. Preacher.
Preachers?
Yeah.
Was on his way to do more.
Right.
Amen, brother.
The Lord said, I got another plan. Won't you come in my body shop?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I'm going to fix you up.
Amen.
I'm not just going to restore you. I'm going to make a hot rod out of you, buddy.
Amen.
You're going to shake this world upside
yes,
down.
Sir. Wow, that's good. Amen, brother.
Brother Freddie, when the people heard about Paul or Saul,
yeah,
they were afraid.
Yes, they were.
They were scared of him. No, we don't believe that. But he hates us. And boy, then they heard him. They thought, I reckon so.
Yeah, bro.
There's not a life in this room that God can't change.
Amen.
If you're in the junkyard tonight, he'll pull you out.
Amen, bro.
He'll fix you up. He'll wipe off your sin, put you back on your feet again.
Amen.
You say, preacher, what if I'm not in the junkyard? Stay out.
Amen.
Amen.
Stay out. You don't have to go there.
Amen.
I told you last night, I'm going to tell you again, Brother Jason's testimony is not the one you want.
Amen, preacher.
Thank God for it, but that's not the one you want. Brother Allen's testimony is not the one you want. By the way, Brother Jason said he wasn't raised up in church. He was.
Yes, sir.
His daddy knows the Bible. He knows more about the Bible. He's forgot more about the Bible than I'll ever know. He was raised in church, Christian school, whole nine yards.
Yes, sir.
His ain't the best testimony.
Amen.
Brother Warren's testimony, it's not the best testimony.
Yeah.
Sometimes we glorify that.
Yes, sir.
That's not the best testimony.
Amen.
It's not the best testimony. My son has the best testimony.
Amen.
I hope he keeps it.
Amen.
What's his testimony? Church.
Amen.
All his life. As far as I know, he's never done drugs. He's never got out and messed up and big time sin. Of course, he did stupid stuff. He's a boy. Of course, that he still does. Do you know what he's missing tonight? He's missing the scars that Brother Freddie has.
That's right. Yes, sir, brother. Go ahead and tell us.
Probably, Brother Jason, I don't know if he'd admit it or not. There's probably times when his brain says, you need something.
Amen.
It's always there.
Yeah.
He's left with some memories that he'll go to his grave with.
Right.
He told it last night, even people who died using the drugs, he sold them. It's not the best testimony.
Amen, preacher.
Glory to God, he's here. But all that could have been avoided.
Amen.
He could have got here by going around the junkyard. He didn't have to go through the junkyard to get here.
Amen. Amen.
And neither do you.
Amen.
Make up your mind tonight. Get on this altar and say, Lord, please help me. Please help me not to wind up in that junkyard. Maybe there's some tonight, you're in it. You've just got everybody fooled. Why don't you come let the Lord help you tonight? Let's stand to our feet. Brother Todd, y'all come. Levi, can y'all sing that I missed out? Is that doable? Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. Listen, we need it real quiet just for a minute. And we'll be out of here. Let's bow our heads right quick. Nobody looking around. Listen to me now. I want you to be honest. I want you to be dead honest. If you know without a doubt that you're saved, no doubt in your mind you're saved, I want you to lift your hand. No doubt. You've got that thing settled as you know you're saved as well as you know your name. Keep them up just for a minute. As far as I can see, that's just about everybody in the room. Thank the Lord. You can put them down.
Ain't nobody looking around. I wouldn't embarrass anybody for $1 million. I won't single you out. I won't call your name. I just want to pray for you. You just say, preacher, I couldn't raise my hand because I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died right now, heaven would be my home. I wish you'd pray for me. Just slip up your hand. Put it right back down. I promise you, God bless you, hon. Anybody else, preacher, pray for me. I need to get this thing settled in my heart. I need to get this settled. If you can really know where you're going when you die, I'd like to know. Please pray for me. Anybody. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you tonight in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for a great day. Lord, thank you for a great meeting. What preaching we've heard. Lord, the singing. Lord, it's all been wonderful. But Lord, best of all, just your presence has been felt. I thank you for visiting with us. Oh, what a sweet service this morning. And again tonight, thank you so much. Well, Lord, we'll end the youth rally right here. But Lord, I pray it doesn't end in the hearts of these young people. Lord, I pray they take something home with them. Lord, a desire to live for you and to serve you. Well, Lord, you saw the hands and you know the hearts. Deal with us accordingly tonight. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.